Grace to you and peace from God our Father, from Jesus Christ the Son, and from the Holy Spirit. Amen. Last week was Pentecost, and we talked about the Holy Spirit. And today I'd like to talk with you about being filled with the power of the Holy Spirit through song, through the songs of praise and music to our God. And this is actually told us in Scripture. If you'll look with me at Ephesians chapter 5, beginning at verse 17, we read this. Paul says, verse 18, "Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with all your heart, always and for everything giving thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God the Father." And so, would you say, based on this verse, that there's a relationship between being filled with the Holy Spirit and with singing songs of praise to our God? Absolutely. They'd be filled with the Spirit, singing songs of praise in the name of Jesus Christ with thanksgiving. So today I'd like to talk with you about the spiritual power of music. The music we listen to, the music we make. What do you think? Let me ask you a couple questions. Do you think music can affect your soul? Can it change your mind? Can it touch your spirit? Can it affect your emotions? Can it influence your actions? And can you be filled with the Holy Spirit by the music of songs of praise that you sing to God? Well, that's what we're talking about today, and I shared a sermon with you on this some years ago. I'd like to share some elements of that sermon with you, along with adding to them today, because I think this is such a vastly, superiorly important subject before us, because we're surrounded by music all the time. But do you know the power of music and what it may be doing to you? And do you use music rightly? Can your music that you sing help you to be filled with the Holy Spirit in your life? Let's take a look at that today in this sermon, what God would teach us about music. Well, what should we say? First thing the Scripture teaches us, the Holy Spirit does in the Bible, is that God is a musical God. He's not a stoic, dead, somber sort of God. He is a God of color and full of joyful song, and he's put music into everything that he's created. Did you know that? Think about what God says here in Job. He says about the beginning of his creation. He says in verses 4 and following, "Where were you, Job, when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Who stretched the line upon it? On what were its bases sunk? Who laid its cornerstone when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy?" The morning stars, the stars were singing. That may be angels or stars, but God puts music into them. We also know in heaven there's joyous singing. In Revelation 4, the four living creatures, day and night, never cease to sing around the throne, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." God has put music into nature. I love to listen to that. If you've been in the north and heard the spring peepers all going at once, the frogs, the birds in the morning, the music in the ocean and the wind, the babbling brook, the howl of a wolf, the song of the whale, you know God has put music into all that he's made. In fact, in Isaiah 44, all of creation is singing about thanking God for saving us in Jesus Christ. "O Israel, I've swept away your transgressions like a cloud and your sins like mist. Return to me, for I've redeemed you. Sing, O heavens, for the earth, the Lord has done it. Shout, O depths of the earth, break forth into singing. O mountains, O forest, and every tree in it. For the Lord has redeemed Jacob, will be glorified in Israel." Music all around you that God has placed in his things he's made. He's put music in the voices and hearts of his people. In the first place, you see the word sing appear, or sang in the Bible, is at the Red Sea in Exodus 15, when God saved his people with a great salvation, and they came out of that sea singing. "I will sing to the Lord," Moses' song says. "Sing, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and rider he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength, and he's my song. and he's become my salvation. Is the Lord your song? Do you sing to him? You know, the apostles sang, and they sang with Jesus. You know what it says in the Bible? Jesus sang on the night when he's betrayed. It says, and when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Just before he's about to face the biggest, darkest hour of his life, Jesus our Lord sang. Isn't that an example for you? Do you know that God sings over us himself? Zephaniah 3:17, the Lord your God is in your midst, a warrior who gives victory. He'll rejoice over you with gladness. He'll renew you with his love. He will exult over you with loud singing, as on the day of a festival. Isn't that beautiful that God sings over you? And God made you to sing. He put music into everything. He put music into you to sing a song of praise to our God. As it's written in the Proverbs 29, an evil man is ensnared in his transgression, but a righteous man sings and rejoices. Now, before we go any further in the sermon, I want to handle an objection you may have to the rest of the sermon. What if you say, but I can't sing? I can't carry a tune in a bucket, Pastor. What if I'm no good? Should you still listen to the rest of the sermon? Answer is absolutely, categorically, yes. Because God has made you musical, number one. And remember the story of that lady in the church who was a terrible singer, and she quit. She got angry in the choir one day and quit. And everybody, she wasn't there the next week, and everybody remarked after the service, "Ooh, when did we finally fix the organ? It sounds so much better this week." Well, okay. All right, so fair enough, we're not all the best singers in the world, okay? But if only the prettiest bird in the forest sang, the forests would be silent. And you all know when you have children, a little child, your own, and sings to you a song that she or he made up for you, off key, to the parent, that is the sweetest song on the face of the earth, because the parent is listening to the music of the heart, not just to the outward sounds, and God himself does not look in the outward appearance of things. Remember he says to Samuel, but upon the heart, so also he does not listen to only the outward notes, but he's listening to the melody and music of your heart. And so sing to him, no matter how good or bad you are. Paul says, be filled with the Spirit, singing, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody to the Lord with all your heart. That's so important to put your heart into it and not just sing the tune. Because God rejoices in the music of your soul. And that's what helps the Holy Spirit to be stirred up with great joy to fill you and do great things in and for you. So let's ask another question here. Is there really power in music, you think? Spiritual power? Well, a lot of people would say no. Music's just music. It doesn't really make much difference one way or another. We can live with it or live without it. But I think experience speaks to us differently. I know sometimes when I'm driving in the car and I hear a song of praise or I'm singing and I'm feeling so good going into a store and then they have on their intercom some song with the spirit of the world playing on it and it's so catchy, I have to fight, and by the time I'm leaving that store, I'm singing a song that has the spirit of our age and culture in it, you know? It just gets into us. Music sort of reverberates inside of us. You ever hear a song that you don't even really like on the radio, and then 2 days later you're getting up and all of a sudden you find yourself singing that song? Where did that come from? It's because the music has a way to get in there and echo inside of us. Luther said that the notes make the words come alive. Think about that. You listen to some pretty pathetic words, all right? We all do, and we hear the radio. But the notes make the words come alive, and we're willing to listen because of the music. It's powerful. We need to know that there are all kinds of songs in the world. There's idol songs, there's the devil songs, and there's God songs. There's music to lift your soul up to God in nobility and thanksgiving and strength and courage and faith, and there's words that bring your soul down to darkness. And the music that we want, friends, to fill our lives is the music that lifts your soul up to God and to noble thoughts and courage. We need God's songs. And you know why? God does great things for us when we sing. to him. Let me give you some biblical examples, okay? Check this out. This happened to you when you're singing lately? Acts chapter 16. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns, and the prisoners were listening to them. Okay, so they're witnessing. That's cool. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's fetters were unfastened. That happened to you lately? What's the blessing of music according to Scripture? It was comforting them. It was witnessing through them. It was strengthening them in their hour of dark despair in that dungeon. But while they sing, wham! In comes the Holy Spirit with an earthquake and breaks their fetters free. Do you think you have some chains, maybe some spiritual chains or depression or something that's upon you that music, the Holy Spirit, might break when you sing? We don't sing that often. Let's give it a try with our whole hearts, as Paul says to God. Music also unites us, lifts us up. In our darkest hour, Jesus sang when he was about to be killed and scourged. He sang with his disciples before he went out to the Mount of Olives. Jesus, the scripture also says music brings victory, or the Holy Spirit does when we sing. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Now at this point, Israel is surrounded by enemies of superior force. Jehoshaphat of Judah and Jerusalem is in dire straits. They are about to be crushed. And what do we read here? They rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa, the king and his army of Israel. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you'll be established. Believe his prophets, and you'll succeed." When they'd taken counsel with the people, he appointed those who were to, guess what I'm going to say, sing to the Lord and praise him in holy array as they went before the army. So Jehoshaphat says, we're going to sing singers ahead of the soldiers. And as they're going, they're supposed to sing, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his steadfast love endures forever." And when they began to sing and praise, the Lord set an ambush against the men of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, so that they were routed. When did that happen? When they? Say it again. They began to sing. Say that after me. When they began to sing, then the Lord set an ambush and routed their enemies. How about when you begin to sing, the Lord sets an ambush for your enemies and routs them? That's what the scripture teaches. But how little do we make use of this praise? God's music also has the power to drive the devil away. Did you know that? That is, the Holy Spirit, when we sing, does so. We read this also in God's holy scriptures, 1 Samuel 16. Let's see. The Spirit of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, departed from Saul, King Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord tormented him. Okay, so Saul is hounded by a demon. And the Saul's servants said to him, "Behold, an evil spirit from God is tormenting you. Let our Lord now command your servants who are before you to seek out a man who is skillful in playing the lyre," which is like a harp, "and when the evil spirit from God is upon you, he'll play it and you'll be well." What an interesting idea. They seek out, and guess who they find? Who do they find? David, right? And Saul brings David close. We read in verse 23, whenever the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, David took the lyre and played it with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. Do you think maybe if you fill your life with music and songs to God, your harp, that evil spirits will be driven away from you? So says the scripture. Luther says, when sadness comes to you and threatens to gain the upper hand, then say, "Come, I must play for my Lord Christ a song." Then he says, "Hit the keys with a will." Okay? And then he says this, and I just love Luther. If the devil returns and suggests cares or sad thoughts to you, do what the husband did when his wife began to nag and snap at him. He took his flute from under his belt and began to play a peaceful little tune contentedly until she went away. So also do when you are hounded with depression or sadness or fear or anxiety, take out your little flute, your harp. Sing a song to our God and sing it with gusto. Put your soul into it. Just don't sing the tune. Put your heart into it. And the Holy Spirit responds to hearts that are infused, filled with faith, which these words put to music help to inspire in us. We need to fill our lives with music. And you all know, by the sound of the trumpet and the loud shout of God's people, the walls of Jericho came a tumbling down at the sound of the trumpet. So definitely, God, the Holy Spirit, wants you to sing. And he says, this is one of the things that will empower my presence in your life. But we also need to be aware of something. Not all the music that we hear in the world is of God. There's a whole lot of worldly music out there that is of the spirit of the world, the devil's own music. Now, just imagine if you are, if you were the devil, if you were down there in the dark places of his realm and you wanted to destroy faith from the earth, you would have as a very key, maybe almost number one part of your mission is to destroy godly music from the earth and to swallow it up with your own music, right? I believe he's doing a good job of that. Remember, there's the music that will lift your soul to courage and comfort and faith. And there's music to bring inside of you darkness and to draw a soul away from God. And I want to warn you, the devil's music is very catchy. And he has a really great grasp of beats and music. And it's very easy for us to fall into his schemes. Think of the lyrics that we listen to day in and day out as Christians, but don't notice the words because of the tune. And I shared these with you some years ago. Here's a couple examples, okay? Billy Joel. And she's always a woman to me. You know, she's always a woman to me. Ah, da, da, da. Okay, it's a kind of a nice tune. Catchy. Listen to the words. She can kill with a smile. She can wound with her eyes. She can ruin your faith with her casual eyes. And she'll take what you'll give her as long as it's free. Yeah, she steals like a leaf, like a thief, but she's always a woman to me. What kind of woman is this? This woman's a train wreck. The other part of the song says she'll carelessly cut you and laugh while you're bleeding and you're still hanging around with this woman. I see divorce written all over this song. But we listen to it because the tune is catchy. It's hard to turn it off. Consider Sting. I'll be watching you. Remember that one? And it's got that really great beat. Once again, it draws me right in. Oh, can't you see you belong to me? Now my poor heart aches with every step you take. I'll be watching you. A man, you know, watching after his old girlfriend, he says, every move you make, every vow you break, every smile you fake, every claim you stake, I'll be watching. This is the song of a stalker. We need a restraining order out on this man. But we listen because the tune is catchy. I recently heard a song by Katy Perry. It was a very famous teen idol right now. Probably some of your children or grandchildren listen. And it was so catchy, I was driving my car over by 520 in Cocoa, and I was bouncing along with the beat, and I was thinking, boy, this is kind of waking me up. I was feeling kind of sleepy. And then I heard the words, and I was like, are you serious? This is what I'm listening to? Let me read you some. There's a stranger in my bed. It's about Friday night. There's a stranger in my bed. There's a pounding in my head. I smell like a mini bar. DJ's passed out in the yard. Is this the hickey or a bruise? Pictures of last night ended up online. I'm screwed. Oh, well, it's a blacked out blur, but I'm pretty sure it ruled. Damn. And then she has sex with multiple partners in the park, and there's a warrant out for arrest. And then she says, this Friday night, I'll do it all again. This Friday night, I'll do it all again. What's that do to the young who are listening because the beat is so catchy, it draws you in? What's that do to you? You know, Satan uses girls like this, then throws them away. Every couple of years, he gets a new, young, sexy teenage girl who has a halfway decent voice, and he promotes her, right? To be very famous, to become a teen idol, so that all the generation follows after and wants to be as happy and as zestful as this person. And she's inspired to be an idol of rebellion and to lead people into what is supposed to be happiness, but is really a lie and leads them into despair and a broken life if they follow. And he brings them in by words. And then he casts that girl out when she gets a few years older with a totally broken life, a subject of scorn and gossip, and finds some other new young girl to do the same thing with, and we forget the old one. We have a lot of American idols, friends. What Christian in his right mind, by the way, would listen to this? John and Lennon. Imagine. Oh, no, you're not going to attack the Beatles now, are you? Before you get offended, think about the tune and how it draws you in to hear the words of the song Imagine. Remember, that's such a catchy tune on the piano. It draws me right in. Hear the words. Imagine there's no heaven. Imagine it's easy if you try. No hell below us, above us, only sky. Imagine all the people living for today. That's not the way he sings it. The tune is so catchy, but notice what it's bringing in, an insidious, dark message to destroy the truth. And that's John Lennon. But we tolerate it because of the tune, friends. Beware then, lest you be bewitched. There's spiritual power in music. The devil knows it. And I was looking this week at John Lennon. Actually, there's a book out that says he made a 20-year pact with the devil for fame, fortune, and sex in return for exchange of his soul. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but I do know this. I saw an album cover from 1966, The Beatles Yesterday and Today, called the Butcher Cover, where the Beatles are all standing there in butcher's smocks, covered in blood, holding the decapitated and body limbs and eyeballs of human babies. And you listen to these guys? Sure, they may have some musical talent, but beware, O little ears, what you hear, because it seeps into your soul and begins reverberating and echoing around the chambers of your heart, and you don't even know it. Beyonce, who's very famous, has admitted in TV interviews repeated times that she has a familiar spirit named Sasha Fierce. And she says when she goes on stage, this spirit possesses her and makes her act entirely different, far more sexual, far more lusty, far more glamorous than she ever is in normal life. She even has a name. Friends, that's a command in the scriptures not to have a familiar spirit. That's a demon. And she freely says this is her name, Sasha Fierce. And many artists have gone into such deep, dark things, even though they have great tunes. So be careful, little ears, what you hear. Martin Luther said 500 years ago, "How is it that in matters concerning the flesh we have so many fine poems and hymns, but that in those concerning the spirit, we have such sluggish, cold affairs?" You know, isn't that true? You know, when I'm turning on the radio, I want something fast and getting me awake, alive, you know. And sometimes that's only the spirit of the world that has those songs. Same thing in the 1500s. Still today, music is a gift from God, Luther says, to man. But in the course of time, it was pressed into the service of luxury and lust. I greatly desire that youth be trained in music and might be weaned from the love ballads and the sex songs. He's writing in 1500s. And instead of these, learn something beneficial and take up with the good with relish as befits youth. How lightly people esteem music, and how we can often be hypnotized by the doctrines of hell by catchy songs. So what should we do? How do we fight this? Because music's all around us. Well, remember Jason and the Argonauts in the Greek mythology? They had to pass their ship by a place where there were the sirens, three bird-like demon sisters who had an amazing voice that would draw sailors astray into shipwreck and doom. But Jason was told ahead of time, you must bring Orpheus along with you, who is a master at playing the harp. And when they sailed past the sirens, he would play louder than the sirens, and so the sailors would pass by safely and rejoicing, unscathed. That's what we need to do. When we have the world coming against us with all of its music, as much as we may enjoy the tune, we need to play David's harp louder than the music of the world, at least in our head, that we may pass by unscathed and rejoicing. Godly music will do great things in your life. I'm not saying it all has to be Christian praise music and stuff. You can take instrumental music or whatever from worldly things and commandeer it for thinking about God and Christ and noble thoughts, as I've done on certain movies. Betty Duda, actually, shared with me the story of when she was at a state fair once, and there was rap, rock, heavy music playing, and there was gangs there. They started fighting and breaking out, beating each other with violence. And it was getting worse and worse till someone said, quickly, somebody change the music on the intercoms. And they went over and they began putting on Bach or classical or something. And everybody's like, you can't fight to Mozart, okay? Not that you have to listen to Mozart, but the music changed them. Oral Hershiser, the great pitcher of the Los Angeles Dodgers, won the 1988 World Series, MVP of that series. And he was shown in the dugout on some TV shows in the ninth inning, just before he's about to win, talking or muttering something. And he was on Johnny Carson. Johnny said, what were you doing there? What were you saying to yourself at that crucial moment before you won the World Series? I wasn't saying anything, says modest Oral Hershiser. And, then tell us what you're doing. I was singing. You were singing? I didn't know you were a singer. I'm not. Well, then tell us what you're singing. Sing it for us. He's like, no, I really don't want to sing. No, come on, sing it for us. And the whole audience starts going, sing, 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 sing. Finally, he's like, oh, okay. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And Johnny was like, and the crowd was like, one person began to clap, and all of a sudden everything erupted into a thunder of applause. The power of music, friends, the power of music, songs of God's people, filled with faith and praise, stirs up the Holy Spirit to do great things and wonders and courage in your life. Elisha said to the king of Israel, what have I to do with you? As the Lord of hosts lives, whom I serve, were it not that I have regard for Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, I neither look at you nor see you. But then the king asked for a prophecy, and Elisha said, now bring me a minstrel, someone to play. And when the minstrel played, the power of the Lord came upon him, and he spoke and said, thus says the Lord. How? It was when the music began to play of praise, it stirred up the spirit of prophecy, thus says the Lord. And so also in your lives, don't get drunk with wine, for that's a debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, singing these songs to God with thanks in your hearts for Jesus. And friends, we have a lot to give thanks to God for in our music. He created us. He made a beautiful world. When we fell into sin and became subject to evil and death, he loved us still and sent his Son to be our Savior. Jesus bore your sins on the cross, carried them, redeemed you, forgave you, gives you the Holy Spirit as a gift, rose from the dead, ascended to heaven, rules for you, is coming again, promises to give you all things. We have much to sing about. I'll sing to the Lord because he's dealt bountifully with me. He's put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb who is slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing now and forever and ever. Yes, my chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior, he's ransomed me. And like a flood, his mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace. In Jesus' name, amen.